We actually had a jiu-jitsu gym over there on the base, which was kind of cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was in a big tent, right? They just had mats down. And it was like, you know, iterations come through, right? So people aren't staying there all the time. And when I came through, there was another purple belt that was in there. And then there was a brown belt, Greg Walker. He's got his own gym out in, God, where is he? He's Mustavo. I can't remember what state he's in, but he was out there for a little while too, so I got to train with him. But we ran that whole thing there. We 2-3 nights a week. You know, if we were on base at that time, you know, we'd go in there, we'd train. So I got a bunch of people from my unit to come over there and start training.
What's up, everybody, and thank you for supporting the Pohata Podcast. Welcome back. Of course, this is a show where we talk about jiu-jitsu with jiu-jitsu people, very often black belts. This time around, it's one of my favorite episodes. I'm talking with Nate Scutt, a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, who recently opened up his jiu-jitsu school in Rogers, Minnesota. For the record, as of this recording, he's got a grand opening event open to all of you on April 20th, 2024 at 1 p.m. Check out Rebel North on social media for some of those details. Before we jump in, this episode is, of course, brought to you by Way of the Tiger Soap Company, a small local business created by one of us. You may not be good at jiu-jitsu, but you can smell good at jiu-jitsu. This one is de facto sponsored by Nate himself and Rebel North Jiu-Jitsu in Rogers. Without further ado, my conversation with Nate Scutt of Rebel North Jiu-Jitsu. All right, dude, state your name. Tell me the name of this place. Give me the address, and let's start with the story of the gym, like how it came to be.
All right. So my name is Nate Scutt. Address of the gym is 12510 Fletcher Lane, Rogers, Minnesota, 55374. We are Rebel Jiu-Jitsu, so we're an affiliate of the original Rebel Jiu-Jitsu down in Eagan. So
how did you come about?
So something I've always wanted to do, obviously you got to take your time, progress through everything. After Master Worlds last year, I was out there with Tim Blackstone and we, started talking and we're kind of like, well, what about opening a place up by you? And I'm like, maybe, I don't know. And then it just kind of came to fruition. I don't know. It got stuck in my brain, and it's one of those things where I'm like, I couldn't shake it, and here we are.
That's kind of how those ideas, somebody just tosses something out, and then you all go home and realize, oh,
right. Yeah,
we're all sitting at home thinking about this, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So you picked this spot because it's close to you.
Yeah, so a big thing that when I talked with Tim was, so I coached the youth wrestling team at St. Michael. So St. Michael has a huge tradition with wrestling. So, and I have a wrestling background. So I wrestled since I was 4 all the way through college, and it's paid off nicely for me in jiu-jitsu. So my thought was to get our young kids into jiu-jitsu as well. So along with wrestling, kind of just to supplement it. So and just kind of raise some killers when it comes down to it.
So the fact that it's probably a primo spot in terms of relationship to other gyms is just incidental?
Yeah. I mean,
so like, because like if I live in Dayton like Ray does, or I live out here, my nearest one is 20 minutes away.
Right.
Am I wrong or am I missing somebody? Like, no. You're the show out on this northwest corner.
Right? Yeah, there's really not much out here. I know there was one like 2 minutes down the road. I don't really know much about them.
Oh, there is one?
What? Yeah. I believe it's Valhalla.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a secondary Valhalla one.
Yeah.
I was forgetting about that one.
But I don't really know much about that one.
Yeah.
Wasn't too worried about being too close to somebody, just with kind of my network of people being around this sport and wrestling for a long time.
And let's just be honest about population. Like,
Right.
There's a huge number of people right. out here. It's only growing. So yeah. What's anybody? The sport's growing so fast. So seriously. We're all fine.
Yeah.
Plenty of bodies.
Plenty of bodies is right. Yeah.
So inside of a year, you went from idea to now it exists.
Inside of a year, I would say inside of 6 months.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that just how you operate? Is that the...
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's like, my wife always tells me, she's like, you know, if you're going to do something, you end up doing it. Right. So when it was kind of spoken to existence, I was like, all right, I guess that's what I'm doing. And I feel like if I tell one person, then I got to do it, you know?
Yeah, because they could come ask you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, so how's that gym?
And, right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
All my dreams that I disregarded.
Exactly. Yeah.
How long you been at jiu-jitsu?
So I have been training since I got done wrestling in college, which was 2007.
Start with the start of wrestling. When did that start?
I started wrestling when I was 4 years old. So mom and dad threw me on the mat, and I never wanted to crawl off or get away or anything like that. And just fell in love with the sport.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something that just stuck with me. I liked it.
You got violence in your heart.
Yeah. I guess. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you wrestle at?
So I grew up in Monticello. Wrestled there until 10th grade. 10th grade. My parents moved us over to a private school in Elk River. So went from there to Elk River. And... graduated from there, so I wrestled there for 3 years. We were a Class A school. We were pretty good, actually. My junior year, we went to the state tournament. I qualified for the state tournament 3 times, and my junior year I took 6th, and my senior year I took 3rd. So, and then I thought I was going to be done wrestling. I was like, "Nah, I'm good." And then some schools started calling. Actually took a year, not a year off. I took a semester off, so I didn't go to school right away. And then I went to a little community college in Wilmer and wrestled there. Was an All-American there my freshman year in college. And then I transferred to St. Cloud State. So wrestled there for 3 years. National qualifier. Yeah, and then my senior year tore my knee up a little bit, so I didn't get to finish my senior year, which sucked, but it's mm-hmm. it's part of the sport, right?
It is what it is. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, and then after St. Cloud, man, I decided, let's get lazy.
Let's not cut
any more weight.
Yeah.
And let's put on as much weight as we can.
Okay.
So, and I didn't put good weight on.
Of course, yeah.
So, I got fat and out of shape.
Drinking the beers and such?
Drinking the beers, living mm-hmm. in St. Cloud.
That's how I knew you were drinking the beers. You're living in St. Cloud.
Yeah, right. That's how you do there.
Right, right. Yeah. I went to college in Moorhead. So
okay, yeah.
Times 10 yeah. out there.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. It's a great town, too.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so got way out of shape. And I'm like, man, I got to change something. And went into the St. Cloud Boxing and Wrestling Gym just to work out. Nothing, like, not to do anything else. I just went in to work out.
Just like you were just floating the idea of starting a gym.
Yeah, see, right, right.
The trend here.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those things. And, a guy by the name of Clyde was in there. And he kind of was starting. This was when MMA was... kind of still in its infancy.
What year are we?
So this would be 2007, 2008, right around there. So UFC is big, right? MMA is starting to, yeah. you know, get more popular. But that's when there's only, what, one show a month maybe, one every mm-hmm. other month, yeah. you know.
When you could manage to keep up, for God's
right.
sake.
Yeah, yeah.
When it was now fun because like you could pay attention
exactly.
enough.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, there was a guy in the gym, and he's like, hey, have you ever... you know, tried boxing or done any jiu-jitsu? And I'm like, nope. I said, I just got done wrestling a year ago. I said, I have no desire to do it. I don't want to do that again.
Do I look like yeah. I'm on that path?
Yeah, right, you know? Right. Yeah. So he kept bugging me. And then I finally came into a class and tried it out. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like this. This is not so bad, you know. And he's like, yeah, you can actually get to punch people and do that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh. All right, cool. And about, I don't know, 6-8 months later, had my first MMA fight. Like, just jumped right into it.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't hold back. And then ended up having 26 pro MMA fights.
No and shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the knee turned out all right.
The knee turned out all right. Yeah. Evidently. Yeah. I didn't have to have surgery or nothing like that. It healed up on its own. So it worked out. Yeah. Yeah. And I just fell in love with that sport. I don't know. It was one of those things that I'm like, oh, I like competing again. It's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I got to do it on my terms too. You know, it wasn't like you got to be in practice every day at 3 o'clock, you know. Yeah.
Running stairs again. Let's go. Yeah. Okay. 100%. Great.
Yeah.
What a creative idea.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't do a ton of jiu-jitsu then. I never really wanted to put the gi on. I started putting the gi on when I met Brock Larson. So a couple of us went up to his place. God, I don't know what year it was. We were getting ready for a fight, and it was one of Brock's shows. So we went up there and started training with him. So we got to know him a little bit and figured out how cool of a dude he was. And then he started introducing me to all kinds of people, right? So I trained with him for years. He ended up training me for fighting all the time, right? Started doing jiu-jitsu with him all the time.
Knows a thing or two about it.
Yeah, a couple things. Yeah, he did all right. Yeah, yeah. and then he brought me down to Alliance down in Edina. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really started putting the gi on and got the shit kicked out of me and hated it. Absolutely hated it. I'm like, this is terrible.
Not why did you hate it, but why'd you get the shit kicked out of you?
I was a pretty good wrestler and I thought I could just scramble my way out of everything, right? Out wrestle everybody. In a gi, you just can't do that. It just doesn't work.
Right.
You know, I went in, I think the first day that I went down there and trained, I bet I got tapped 25 times. It was terrible. I walked out of there with my head so far down. I'm like, God, I suck. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Especially considering your resume.
Yeah.
In terms of grappling and fighting so far, right?
Right. Yeah. So I told Brock, I'm like, I don't know if that's for me. Like, that's terrible. And he's like, oh, just come back. He's like, we'll go again. I'm like, all right. So I went again and got a little better. And I'm like, oh, I kind of like this a little bit, you know? Still was doing a lot of no-gi stuff because I was still fighting, right? That was kind of supplementing. It was just more training for fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started really enjoying putting the gi on and wearing that, you know, just kind of learning the ins and outs of it. And that's when I learned actually how to slow down in jiu-jitsu and that technique is important. You know, that was it was eye-opening when it came to putting the gi on.
Right. That's one of those contrasts with wrestling and wrestling culture is there's value over here in slowing down because the technical pond is deeper and all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, gosh, what then from there? So I trained down there for a long time. That's where I met Tim. So Tim and I train. We've probably trained together for, God, we're pretty close to 15 years now. Right around there. So Tim really started getting involved with the MMA portion of things too. So Brock and Tim were basically the ones that cornered me. Another guy, Luke, too. Those were the three main guys that cornered me and kind of ran the training aspect of that. I think when I met Tim, he was a blue or a purple belt? I can't remember. But him and I would just battle with each other. He'd beat me up most of the time, you know, and it was just one of those things where I just kept coming back for more. I'm like, I'm going to get him someday. Someday it's going to happen, you know. I don't know if it's really happened yet, but.
It's that thought we all have as we head to the parking lot every day.
Right.
I'm going to get that guy.
Yeah. 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 So, gosh, so trained there for a long time. And then I joined the military in. What year was it? 2010 or 11? So I had a pause on training for a while. So the basic training, all that kind of stuff. And I came back from basic training and my unit said, hey, guess what? We're leaving. So I was in Afghanistan for a year. So kind of put training on hold. Luckily enough over there. So by that time I was a purple belt. And we actually had a jiu-jitsu gym over there on the base, which was kind of cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. It was in a big tent, right? They just had mats down. And it was like, you know, iterations come through, right? So people aren't staying there all the time. And when I came through, there was another purple belt that was in there. And then there was a brown belt, Greg Walker. He's got his own gym out in, God, where is he? He's Mustavo. I can't remember what state he's in, but he was out there for a little while too, so I got to train with him. But we ran that whole thing there. We 2-3 nights a week, you know, if we were on base at that time, you know, we'd go in there, we'd train. So I got a bunch of people from my unit to come over there and start training.
Just grassroots gym building. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super fun. So it was really cool. Like the whole deal with that. And then we actually put on 2 base-wide tournaments when we were there. So it had never been done before. So me and this other purple belt, he was in the Air Force. We were like, hey, what do you think? You think we could do this? Like to build morale, you know, and like do something a little different around here, you know? So we had to run it up through all the ranks, you know. Everybody had to sign off on it.
Can't even imagine the bureaucracy in that.
It took a long time to get that into place. But super cool. So the first one we did, we had almost 100 competitors.
Wow.
From, you know, the base is big, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's over there doing their job, you know, within the military, but they found time to come in here and check it out. I mean, we had all the high-ranking officials that came in there and checked it out, and it was super cool. That was the highlight of my deployment, but...
nothing to do with anything we were doing here. That's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. So, no, that was really cool. That was a lot of fun. That kind of, I mean, now that I think back at it, that kind of maybe sparked my interest in, you know, having my own place or teaching.
Yeah. You know? Hey, put this thing together, huh?
Yeah.
That worked out all right.
Yeah.
I got you.
It's kind of cool. So
nice.
Yeah. And then I came back and, you know, from Afghanistan, it was, you know, still in the military and I would train every once in a while. I think I had a fight or two after I got back. And then I'm like, gosh, you know, just a wife and 3 kids and working. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll be able to train anymore. So I took more time off. I think I was a purple belt for, God, probably 7-8 years, something like that. I mean, quite some time.
Mm-hmm. How many total years you've been training then?
Like I think
12 or 15 or something?
Yeah, it's just about 15 now. 14, 15, right in there.
Sure.
So... in the gi, it's probably, 11, 12, you know.
Right.
The MMA stuff, I wasn't wearing the gi all that much.
Yeah.
But,
plus, fight training is just different than just straight jiu-jitsu training. Yeah, like, you know, lots of other stuff going on. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it took a lot of time off. I mean, just a lot of breaks in there, which I think most people in jiu-jitsu kind of have that, or just, you know, life gets in the way and...
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's what
people
it is,
people have lives.
That's right.
I've had quite a few dorks on here like, yeah, I just trained real hard for 7 years and now I'm a black belt. And it's like, okay, yeah. We all right. feel great about ourselves.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like the normal person story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. And then after that, I probably took 2 to 3 years off. And then Tim started his own place. And he called him up. I'm like, hey, man, congrats. I'm like, that's super cool. You know, where are you at? Didn't know where his gym was, anything like that. And he's like, yeah, come down, check it out whenever you want. I'm like, all right, cool. So I went down and checked it out and trained a couple times. And I'm like, okay, I remember I still like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun, you know.
It's fun that you picked a gym 1 hour and 10 minutes away to get started with.
I know.
I'm assuming you're living out here at that time.
Yeah. Been in St. Michael for 7-8 years now, or 9, whatever it's been. So it's about an hour drive down there,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know. I've always been picky about where I've trained. I've been super fortunate to be with Brock, be at Alliance, and then now at Rebel. I mean, it just seems like the culture around those gyms, the people, the instruction has been phenomenal. Not that there's not other good gyms, because there is, but
plenty of them. But your home base is your home base.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, yeah. So yeah, I started training again down with Tim last spring. It would have been two springs ago. And then went out. I hadn't competed in ages. And Tim's like, "Hey, you gonna compete again?" I'm like, "I don't know." Kind of. He's like, "I don't know.
I got kids, man."
Yeah, I'm getting old. I'm like, I don't know. And then, so I was just like, well, we'll see. So that got put into my head, and I'm like, oh, shit. So I start looking, and I'm like, what's this Masters World thing, you know? Tim's like, yeah. He's like, go to it. He's like, I'll be out there. He's like, I'm coaching. I got some guys going out there. I'm like, all right, cool. So I signed up. I'm like, all right.
My Once you like, said it was in your head, I was like, okay, so yeah. We went.
Right. Yeah.
Getting it.
Yeah. And my wife, she's like, God, you are crazy. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. She's like, all right. She's like, train hard, right? Do your thing. You know, and she's been around it for a long time, right?
Sure.
So we met in college. She went to a lot of my wrestling stuff. She kind of knows the grind of all of it. She was around when I fought all the time and was in training camps and cutting massive amounts of weight and all that kind of thing. So she knew, right? But, you know, training for something like this is a little different, right? It's not like MMA where you're in camp for 8 weeks straight and
4 hours a day.
Yeah, just busting your ass. Yeah. And I didn't really have to cut a lot of weight for Worlds. You know, it was just kind of came off naturally. And so I went out my first year. So it's been 2 years ago in the Purple Belt division and took second. My first time coming back competing.
Not so bad.
Yeah, wasn't terrible. I was like, oh, okay. I said, I guess I'm decent at this. I don't know. I think what I have, 40 or 50 guys in my bracket, something like that. So it was quite a few matches.
It's a legit second place.
It was, I think I had 5 or 6 matches, and I'm like, God dang. I'm like,
yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, and I think they all went the distance, too. There was no submissions, sure. No finishes, and I'm sure. Like, Jesus, like, can we just get one that, you know, goes quick? But
you figure the training for MMA and that grind of wrestling helps with that? Even if you're kind of physically out of shape, there's a little spark in the brain at that point?
Yeah, or? I would say that mental fortitude, you know, it's just kind of built into you. You just have that, you know, just getting through it, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. There were times where I just wanted to be like, I'm done, man. This is a lot. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, I flew out to Vegas. I should probably give it a little more, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, that really kind of reignited me going out there and competing, just having a good time with it, too. You know, a buddy of mine went out with me who actually is training here now, a guy that hasn't done any jiu-jitsu ever, and he's like, yeah, I'll go out there with you, man. He just likes Vegas. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. I took a team of like 12 or 13 people when I did Strongman Nationals in Vegas.
Yeah.
15 plus years ago.
Yeah.
They don't know a thing about flipping tires and stuff. They have no idea. They're like, oh, a reason to go to Vegas, you know? Yeah, but it makes it kind of cool, you know? Absolutely. You get people to hang out with, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it was really fun. I had a great time out there. Beat my body up, right? Just competing like that again. I'm like, holy shit. I mean, I had to take a few weeks off afterwards, you know? I was like, good God. My chiropractor's like, God, you're in a lot. I'm like, yeah. Like, just went through war for a while. You know?
Why do you think I'm here, Doc?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and then just kept training. And I'm like, gosh. I'm like, you know what? Like, second place was good, but I'm like, not good enough. I don't know. That's just that thing in my head. I'm just like, no, you could have won that last match, you know?
Mm-hmm. If you'd have got 40th, you'd have been like, whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'd have been like, okay, maybe this isn't for me. You
sure,
know?
sure. Maybe it's just my cardio from
here on out. Yeah. So, yeah, I kept training, and Tim was like, you going to run it back? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. So trained hard for about 3 months, getting ready for it, and went out there and got it done this time and won the thing. Okay, I had about the same amount of people in my bracket. So yeah, I felt good, and then Tim gave me my brown belt on the podium, which was kind of cool.
That's why I asked if you wanted to run it back.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to earn this belt, man.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. No, it was cool this time, too. My wife came out, and she had never been to a jiu-jitsu competition, so it was eye-opening for her. She thought it was pretty cool. She couldn't believe the amount of people that were out there. I think last year they had the biggest turnout. There's over 10,000 competitors at Master Worlds, which is just crazy.
So many. Yeah. Bunch of old-timers, too.
Right? Yeah. Like, seriously.
You guys got nothing to do?
Yeah. I know. It's like all these guys that have a midlife crisis, you know?
Yeah, right.
You got to
right.
get back in there and do something.
That's a dangerous midlife crisis.
Yeah. It's not like buying a car or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, but super cool. That atmosphere, just that whole tournament, that's, I think it's one of the coolest tournaments that they do. You know, I think the guy I had in the quarters or semis, I can't remember. He was from Europe. The guy I had in the finals was from Brazil. So, yeah, it was just cool to, like, compete against people from all over the world. The guy I had in the finals, actually, Tim was talking about it today when I was down there training. He's like, that dude was on HGH for sure. You know, because we're 40, 41, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the dude was absolutely shredded. And my wife actually told me, she's like, I was actually really scared when you had to go out there against him.
Sure, like, sure.
I'm like, yeah, I get it, you know, but.
It's the Ivan Drago thing where you're like, oh, he's going to kill him. Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
That's what it was, too.
And there's the Brazilian thing, like,
yeah.
Why is that just inherently scary in this sport?
You know? Yeah, yeah. Can hear his coaches just yelling mm-hmm. in Portuguese, yeah, you know.
What are they talking yeah. about? It's the most intimidating thing ever.
Seriously. Yeah. So, no, that was fun. That was cool. And then we were having beers after that. And
that's where it starts.
That's where it started, man. I don't know. That was just one of those things. Like, Tim's like, yeah, you should do it. You really should.
You gotta stop talking to Tim, man. All these ideas.
Seriously. What a dick. Oh, yeah.
And how are we doing so far? I mean, looks like a strong start.
Yeah, so we've been open for, this is the third week. Member numbers are good. I think we got 25 already.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've recorded with a couple of people just starting their academy recently, mm-hmm. and they're all like, yeah, we got 14.
Yeah.
And it's like
yeah.
second month. I'm like, what? How? You know?
Right.
Apparently, it's a good time to start a jiu-jitsu gym because, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
I would figure, you know, you and your buddy for the first three
right.
weeks, you know what I mean? Just nobody else.
Yeah.
But that's awesome.
Yeah. That was kind of my, honestly, I was like, gosh, this is a lot to undertake, you know, with mm-hmm. not knowing how fast it'll fill up, you know, mm-hmm. like obviously I ran all my numbers, did all that kind of stuff of what I need. And I mean, I'm already to the point where it's breaking even, which is
floating. Very yeah, nice.
I'm like in 3 weeks, I'm like, all right, that's, I'm happy about that, you know? Yeah. But again, you know, kind of to your point earlier was the location, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot up here and it's just been phenomenal. Just the outreach that I've had with it. And obviously, social media is huge, you know, getting the word out. But it's just been one of those things that's kind of a lifelong dream now. It's come to fruition, and here we are, man.
Super
it's,
cool.
Yeah.
Kids program looks strong, at least from today, the one time I've been here.
Yeah, I think.
And that you said that ties in with the wrestling squad and that network of, I'm assuming, parents spread the word and stuff, mm-hmm. and even kids who aren't wrestling here, you think?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I think, yeah, obviously that network is huge. It helps quite a bit. Wrestling transitions pretty easy into this. The kids' numbers, which I was shocked about. I thought that would take longer to build, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think the last two or three classes we've had 13 kids in here, you know, which is just crazy.
Right? Week 3.
Week 3. Yeah. Yeah. Tons of energy.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Like, I mean, they come in and I'm like, oh my God.
I got to find somebody to teach these classes.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. But I really enjoy teaching the kids. And again, it's tons of basic stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and just moving in a jiu-jitsu manner, really. Yeah,
roll that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And teaching some of the wrestlers that I have in here too, like, it's okay to go to your back, right?
It's definitely not. Doesn't feel right, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. It's been really, really surprising. Super cool, though, that we've had such a good numbers with the kids. You know, I think I talk about this with wrestling all the time, is in order to have a good older kid program or high school program or college program, I shouldn't say college because you got to recruit for that, but, you know, high school program, you have to have a good feeder program, right? I mean, if you have a good youth program, more than likely your high school program is going to be pretty damn good, you know? And that's one thing at STMA that, you know, our youth program for wrestling is off the charts. It's really good, you know, really high level kids, you know, and then they move right into high school, and the success that our high school team has is crazy.
Well, and it'd be a de facto feeder for this too.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah.
It's easy sell. Oh, you like to grapple. You like to fight. Cool. I got this thing for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah.
You got particular goals for the place? Like, you got the comp team vision, you've got, you know, kids comp classes, you got all that stuff in mind, or are you just kind of taking it as you go?
A little bit of both. Yeah, I got visions for it. You know, I would love to have a comp team for adults and kids. You know, that's definitely something that we're going to build towards. Obviously, right now, it's going to take some time to build that. But, you know, I think with some of the kids that we have come in, I think they're going to pick up on things pretty quick. And just getting them exposed to it and then getting them to a tournament, you know, checking it out, seeing what it's all about. You know, I think that'll take off pretty quick. The adults, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's really hard to tell. I think they're more of a wild card than kids. Because competing as an adult, you have more pride, you know, bigger ego. And a lot of adults don't want to put themselves out there as easily as kids will.
Yeah.
So...
They also know what their, you know, deductibles are, you know, and stuff like, let's be honest.
Right, yeah.
Like, in fairness.
I got to pick my kids up or I got to go to work the next day.
Yeah, yeah. They got that real life stuff going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully, yeah. I mean, that's definitely part of what I want to do. You know, I love the competitive side of things. I mean, I love to train and just being here and train, but... The competitor to me wants to have guys that want to go compete, you know. I want to compete alongside with them, right? Like, I want to keep competing and then coach them when they're competing, you know.
Sticking with jiu-jitsu in this room, or does it expand to a little punchy, kitschy kind of stuff?
No, I think I'll probably stick to jiu-jitsu. Man, the whole fighting aspect of things and mixing that with your gym... I don't know. Fighters are weird, man. They are weird. And I know, because I was one, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and just being in the gym with those guys all the time, they're really flaky, it seems like. And they're not going to pay the bills either. You know?
Right.
They're just not.
Yeah.
You know?
Get a second kid's class going in that time slot. That's right. Who's paying the bills, right?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know, man.
Cool. Closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts.
Come join.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Come sign up. No. No, come check it out, though, for real. It's a super laid-back atmosphere. I don't want to be, like, super formal with everything.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we do have. So April 13th, we're going to be doing a seminar here. So Tim Blackstone's going to come up. Do a seminar. We're going to do an official grand opening.
Very nice.
We never had the time to really do it because I'm like, hey, we're going to get this going. And we started on a random Monday, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of how the grand opening works, though. Like a couple weeks in, you get your feet underneath of you, and then you go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So we're going to do that. That'll be a lot of fun.
In the gi seminar?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I know Tim said a bunch of guys from down there are going to come up to check the place out, and just pack this place and have a good seminar.
Open to all affiliations, the usual deal. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just get people in here, checking out the space. You know, we have a little over 1,500 feet, square feet of mat space here. So it's a pretty good size area. Hopefully at some point we outgrow it. Mm-hmm. Never know.
Mm-hmm. You will.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope. I mean, for how fast it's taken off, I think odds are in my favor, but we'll see. I don't know. Yeah.
Cool, brother. Yeah. Good to meet you. Good to check the place out. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of the Pohata Podcast. And hey, if you're a regular listener, head on over to the Pohata Podcast on Instagram, where amongst the ridiculous memes, you'll find a link to the merch shop and be able to keep up with the disorganized going-ons of the show. And hey, before you go, here's a little preview of an upcoming episode.
They're much better. They're superior. And we tried. I mean, we had this family, the Kelly family, and they had four sons. And two of them wrestled with me in college, too, at Springfield. And then the two brothers, one of them went to Pitt, one went to Virginia. So, I mean, they could roll.
Sure.
They had an uncle who, let's say if we were teenagers at the time, maybe he was in his late 20s, early 30s. And he was not really a great technician. He was a heavyweight. We were all little lightweights. But he knew, let's give the boys opportunities. So he would load us up in our van, in his van, and he would drive us to New York City on a Tuesday night to go train at the New York Athletic Club. And we had to go in through the dumpsters. They would open the door for us. They told us you can't use any part of the facility except the wrestling room. And we couldn't go in the locker rooms because, I mean, people are paying thousands of dollars to use the place. So he would drive us there. So New York with traffic was about a 2.5 hour ride. So we go there on Tuesday nights, get home, back home after midnight, go to school the next day. He would take us to New Jersey, to Pennsylvania, anything he could find us competition. And I think a lot of my philosophies came from that to give, before I was here in Minnesota, I was in Florida. And in Florida, the rules are a little different. And you can coach the kids 365 all year long. Hmm. I could be their coach. Here in Minnesota, you can't coach in the off season except the summertime. So I took that philosophy and I had another coach and we both had Ford Explorers. And we put the boys in the Explorers and we went everywhere, up and down the East Coast, tournaments in North Carolina, Virginia, everywhere with the kids. And that's how they got good.